Well, I haven't been up here for a while. Pastor Larry and Pastor Dick were taking care of things. And I trust they did well. Did they do well? Would you encourage them? I know, appreciated what Dick had to say last week, that the amount of work that a person has to put in to speak, to share, to preach, and appreciate you gentlemen filling in and being part of that. And this week we continue with a story in Paul's journeys, Paul's missions. And specifically, the story comes from Acts chapter 16 this morning. So if you want to turn there, you can. Has God ever given you a song to sing in the darkness? Has God ever given you a song to sing in the darkness? When times are rough, when times are seemingly dark, has God blessed you with a song, with a praise, with a blessing? When we take our eyes off of God, we can quite often become disillusioned, discouraged, even dumbfounded, because as a follower of Christ, this simply isn't supposed to be. That's what we believe. But the truth is that Scripture tells us something differently. It tells us that because we follow Christ and because we believe in Jesus, it says that we're going to suffer from the darkness. But that the darkness is not the end. It's never the end. Something that my foster family in Hawkesville, Ontario, East Indian Christian foster family, told me when I was in the social system was that it is always darkest before the dawn. And I've always carried that forward. And this was during a time when my mom was in jail, and I cried out to God every night, because I was, much like Joseph, I was in a foreign land. I didn't know anybody. My grandparents, aunts, uncles, they were all back here out west in Alberta. And I didn't even have their phone number. And the truth be known is that it never occurred to me as a 13-year-old to tell social services that I had family back east or back west, and this is who they were, and to call them up and come and get me. My mom even at one point told me when I visited her on a Sunday afternoon, she said, "You know what, your Aunt Betty and Uncle Roy have always told me that they would take you." My mom told me that, and my immediate reaction was no. Because what I knew deep down inside of me was that if I had said yes, they would never have seen my mom again. That would break her heart. So the Lord gave me a song to sing in the darkness, that He is always faithful, that He is will always be there, even when it's the darkest. Eventually, the dark turns to dawn and becomes light. In the story of Acts today, we have Paul and Silas who go and are appointed to go to Macedonia by the Lord. And they had different plans. They wanted to go to Asia. They believed that's where God was taking them. But there's a man that appears in the vision that the Holy Spirit communicates to Paul. And he's waving and says, come here. Come over here to Macedonia. Some scholars believe that that was maybe the Apostle Luke. He was a resident of Philippi that was in Macedonia. It was a Roman colony. And what the Romans would do is they would set up these cities and they would change these cities to be colonies and they would actually encourage Roman people to move there and leave their home city, their home country in Italy. And they would give them incentives to do so. One of the greatest incentives they would do is they would say, if you do this, you won't have to pay taxes. Now, how many of you today would say, hey, I'll do that? How many of you like taxes? So Philippi was this Roman colony. And if you were Roman, you went there and you were expected to live as a Roman. You were expected to worship the emperor. You were expected to do everything that a Roman would do in a foreign land. Well, can you imagine that sometimes maybe that land seemed pretty dark? Can you imagine picking up and leaving everything behind like Abraham did? To go to a place that you did not know, to live in a land that you knew nobody, and it was just you, your family, and maybe God, depending if you knew him. Does God give you a song to sing in the darkness? There's some of you probably going, yeah, he's given me a song. Some of you are looking for that song. And maybe some of us don't have a song. Because maybe there's something in the way. And God's trying to get our attention to break us down lovingly. To draw attention to things in our life that need to be addressed, that need to be removed. So that he can give us a song to sing. And God says, I will give you a song to sing, even in the darkness. Well, Paul and Silas go to Macedonia. And on their way there, in Philippi, they meet a woman called Lydia. And who is Lydia? Who do we know her to be? Anybody? She is a seller of what? Cloth. And what was the special thing about the cloth? She was from Thyatira, which was known, world renowned for what? Purple. Well, she is in a foreign land. And she's selling her wares. And she is a God seeker. She's not a Jew. She's Gentile. And somehow she gets connected with a group of these women that are Jewish, that are foreigners in Philippi as well. Philippi did not have a synagogue. You had to have at least 10 men to form a synagogue. We know this because it says that the followers of Yahweh met by the river outside the city gates. And it says that Paul went and spoke to them, and they were the women. So it was very fleeting in this land, in Philippi. Church was not strong. Church was almost non-existent. Well, Paul and Silas are called here to go here, and Paul is speaking to these women, and it says that God opened up the scriptures, opened up, actually, Lydia's heart to hear his truth. And she came to accept his truth, and then she was immediately baptized. Her and her whole family, it says. Then she says to Paul and Silas, she says, if I am a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us, Paul says. So, Lydia is converted. This would be unusual. Because Paul was a Roman citizen, but he was also if you remember, a Pharisee. He was a rabbi. And there's this saying that the Jewish rabbis had at that time, and it was this: it is better that the words of the law be burned than be delivered to a woman. Paul, his heart, since he became a follower of Christ, changed. I'm not even going to be bothered about that. Women are created in God's image. He loves them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to share the gospel. Remarkable is that God brings her all the way from Greece to be saved. Think about that. He brings her all the way from Greece to be saved. And then she starts a small gathering. She leads a group of people. Who has God brought so that you could share his story and be saved? Think about that. What's God doing today? He is picking up and displacing people from their homeland to foreign countries. From Syria, from Iraq, from Lebanon. Places where there is persecution, he is bringing them out and putting them in countries. And they're hearing the Lord. They're seeing visions of him. And whole families are coming to accept Jesus. We don't hear those stories. The news doesn't want to cover that. But we hear those stories coming out from the mission field all the time. God always gives you a song in the darkness. The question is, are we hearing the song? Are we hearing God? Can we hear his voice? What is the Spirit saying? It's significant that Lydia not only comes to accept the truth of Christ, that he is God, but that she makes the statement radically and her whole household to be baptized. Baptism, if you were to be baptized in the way of Christ, that was to take your life into your own hands. Because in Rome, that was outlawed. Who was the only person that you were to worship if you were a Roman citizen or part of Rome? Caesar. She takes the boldness to be baptized. It signified that it was a done deal, that her belief was real, and that her Savior was not only her Savior, but he was her Lord. And that she was going to follow him wherever he led her, whatever she was to do, that she would be obedient to her Lord. Do we realize the significance of baptism? Do we understand that? That it's not just a thing that we do, but that is a declaration of Jesus being Lord. He is my Lord. I will follow Him. It is planting a flag and say, it's a done deal. I'm sold out. I will follow Him. If Jesus saw the significance and the importance of being baptized, why not us? See, baptism, the biggest question of it is declaring your lordship is the significance, but the deeper issue is, will you obey? That's the biggest thing about baptism, is that it is a request, an encouragement, a commandment of Jesus. And it's the testing ground as to whether you will obey in this simple thing. Whose allegiance do we belong to? If we won't obey Jesus in the teaching of baptism, this little thing, then how does Jesus expect us to obey Him in the bigger things? True? True. The thing that gets in the place of baptism is pride. Because baptism calls us to be humble. And baptism flies in the face of pride. Pride is a great stumbling block to the greater things of God's will. Who will we follow? You cannot walk with God in pride and be filled with the Spirit, or be walking with the Spirit, because you're holding on to pieces of yourself in disobedience to God, to His instructions. And James would say, that is why many of you are sick. 1 Corinthians 11:30. This passage comes from the passage of talking about communion. And people having communion and taking communion and bringing judgment upon themselves because they're not living right. He says, because you won't obey God in these things, and you won't obey Him in just even taking of communion, that's why you're sick. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Sermon's not about baptism, but it's about obedience and following God. And when we obey God, He gives us a song to sing in the darkness. How did Paul know that he was supposed to go to Macedonia instead of Asia? Anybody? Because he recognized and knew God's voice. He was given a vision. And it says he acted immediately and went. Do we know the Spirit? Do we know how to hear God's voice? Or are we too busy with this world and everything in it that we haven't stopped to hear His voice? We're like infants, like children in kindergarten that are learning their alphabet. Do we care to learn the alphabet? Are we walking in power? Or are we just going through the motions? One of the things that blocks us from hearing the Spirit is sin. Unconfessed sin. Do we have that in our heart? To walk in the grace of God, one needs to be humble. We need to be submissive. We can't demand our rights, because before God we have no rights. Are we in this scripture? Because it says in John 5:24, I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. We've been going through the story, right? For just about the year. Have you learned anything? Have you learned anything from the story? Have you learned the stories? God gave those stories so that we could retell those stories. So that we could work through power. So he could work through us and present his word. If we think that the story has just been a Bible study, we've missed the point. The story wasn't just a Bible study. The story was to give us tools. God's word, remembered, impress it upon our hearts so that when somebody asks or God presents an opportunity to share his story, his love, his word, we're armed. We're ready. If the story has been nothing but a Bible study, or has just been something that we've been preaching on Sunday morning, we've missed the point. What are we doing with this story? Paul and Silas were carrying the story, and they thought they were going to go to Asia and carry the story, and God says, no, I'm changing the plans. I want you to go to Macedonia. I want you to go to the Roman colony. I want you to go to the city of Philippi, where there's very few believers. And I want you to share the story there. And because you're faithful in doing that, this woman Lydia, who I brought there from Greece, she's going to become a follower of Christ. Her and her whole family, and then they're going to start a church. And I'm going to grow. And the kingdom's going to grow. I'm going to send you to Philippi, and actually you're going to be hassled by a woman, a girl. And this girl is going to be inhabited by a demon who prophesies and fortune tells people's futures. And this girl is making massive amounts of money for her owners who care nothing for the girl. They only care about money. The kingdom of this world. And what you're going to do is you're going to go there and she's going to hassle you for days on end. Days on end. Days on end. And scripture says that Paul was so aggravated by the end of it. It's like he's trying to tell the story of God and Will Blaschke's over here talking at the same time. Yelling out. I'm not picking on you, brother. But it'd be like me speaking and Will speaking at the same time. And that's happening for weeks on end. How aggravating would that be? Well, he said, Paul got so aggravated that he turned around and he cast the demon out. Oh, you shouldn't have done that, Paul. Because now you and Silas are going to be taken before the magistrates and they're going to pronounce conviction upon you. They're going to beat you. The whole crowd is going to turn on you and you'll be put into prison. If you knew that you sharing the story of Christ, of God, would put you into prison, would you do it? Anybody? It's pretty quiet. What if I told you that a day is coming, church, that just because you know Christ, just because you own a Bible, you're going to be tossed into prison. what would you do? The day's coming. We're not going to be able to be comfortable and apathetic in our churches anymore. Because whether we go out and do as God wants us to do, as He's entrusted us the story, He's going to bring it to bear. And He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. What side are we going to be on? What are we going to do with the story? What are we going to do with what He's called us to do? Did you know that there's such a thing as the sin of omission? What's the sin of omission? It's not doing the good you know that you ought to do. That's the sin of omission. James says in 4:17, so for the person who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it is a sin. This applies to me as it applies to you. When we don't share God's word, His story, we're sinning. Why? Because that is the good that God has us to do. That is the only true good, truth in this world. Is that what did Jesus do? He gave His life for us so that we could have life. To restore the relationship that was broken between God and man because man decided that God wasn't telling the truth. That He was holding out. And we were tempted and we gave in to temptation and we brought sin and death into the world. Can you tell that story? Can you tell it lovingly? Can you tell it without pounding somebody over the head? That's what the story is intended to do. To give you a tool for that. Paul and Silas are in the chains, in the jail, and they've been beaten. And what are they doing? What would you do? I'd probably cry. You can laugh, that's okay. I'd probably cry, I'd curl up. I'd be woe is me. I've been known to do that. But what does Paul and Silas do? They pray and they praise God. It's like you open up the window on your computer and here's a scene from Paul and Silas in jail. And they're singing hymns and spiritual songs. Not what you would expect. Much like Peter that we talked about last week was thrown into jail. And the angel had to literally slap him to wake him up because he was content. Paul and Silas are content in the same way. Whatever happens, happens. But we know that we've been doing the work of the Lord and the Lord's in control. So they're praying and praising God. Well, I tell you, when I was with my foster family, and they were an awesome foster family, I wasn't praising God. I was pleading with God to take me out of this situation, to bring my mom back to me. I think I was pretty terrible during that time. So Paul and Silas, what do they not do? They don't plead or claim their Roman citizenship. Because you know, if you're a Roman, you weren't allowed to be beaten like they did. That was actually against the law. That's why the magistrates, when they find out, they're fearful and they come back and they do what? They apologize to Paul and Silas. And then they're hoping to get them out of town real quiet. Because they don't want anybody to know. They don't want to get in trouble. And so they tell the jailer, they're released. Let them go. Encourage them to leave quietly. And what does Paul do? I will not. Right? He says, I certainly will not. I'm staying right here. I'm a Roman citizen. He uses this as his card to negotiate for the safety of the church. He's a smart man. Prayer and praise. Did you know it's pretty powerful? Did you know God encourages that? Did you know that God routed an army because the Israelites praised and prayed, sang songs to God and prayed? 2 Chronicles 20. It's the story of King Jehoshaphat. The Moabites, the Ammonites, all the ites are coming to fight Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat gathers all the people together and they go to prayer. And not just prayer, prayer and fasting. Everybody, kids, parents, adults, everyone. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon one of their clan, one of the people, a Levite. And he pronounces and prophesies and says, this is what God has said. That you won't be touched. You won't even have to lift a finger because this is God's battle. You just need to be faithful and go out to where I tell you to go and wait. Oh, by the way, as you go out, I'm going to tell you I want you to sing songs of praise and worship. And when you do that, I'm going to release the ambush. And all the ites are going to fight against one another. They're going to defeat the people on Mount Seir first, and then they're going to go and they're going to kill one another, and then you're going to come over the ridge, and guess what? You get to plunder the people for 3 days. Isn't that a blessing? The place where they did that was called the Valley of Blessing. God gives you a song in the darkness. But can we hear His voice? And we can only hear His voice if we're living in obedience. And in that obedience, the thing I learned from my weekend away in Steinbach is we need to get serious about sin. And the thing we need to get serious about sin about is confessing. Scripture says specifically, confess your sins to one another so that what? You may be healed. You may be holy. Righteous before God. So that there might be deliverance, so that there might be forgiveness, so that people may live in freedom. To change people's hearts. Second Chronicles 20:12 says this, for we are powerless before the vast multitude that comes to fight against us. We do not know what to do, but we look to you. That's Jehoshaphat. Is that your prayer? That's my prayer. I may be pastor, but truth is, I don't know what to do. I don't have all the answers. But God does. I need to have my ear to listen to what He says. Where He says, I go, I go. What He says, I do, I do. Here's the praise that the people sang as Jehoshaphat and the Israelites faced the army was this. Give thanks to the Lord for His faithfulness, faithful love endures forever. Can you sing that song? Give thanks to the Lord, for His faithful love endures forever. God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. Jesus' name we pray.